We bid you welcome this morning on a very special occasion for the congregation here at Hebron. We're delighted for all who have joined with us on this special occasion to give thanks to God for the 25 years of the faithful ministry of our dear pastor and minister, the Reverend David Park. And we trust and pray that as we've gathered here today, that we will know his presence, the presence of the risen Christ, and we will know the blessing of God to attend our gathering in accordance with his word. We're going to commence our special service this morning by turning to the words on the order of service. I have a shepherd, one I love so well, how he hath blessed me, tongue can never tell. All the hymns that are being sung today are those which we know are favourites of the Reverend Park, and we trust that you will sing out and will enjoy the ministry of song as we commence our service, please.
Thank you.
seats and sing the first verse again, I Have a Shepherd. We'll get the note from the organ and the piano, and then we will sing the verse 1 and the chorus unaccompanied. And after we sing this hymn, the chorus and the verse, one of our elders, Mr. John McCauley, will come and lead us to the throne of grace in prayer, please.
Let us pray. O God, our loving and eternal Heavenly Father, we come into this presence another Sabbath day. Lord, we just thank you for this day, this one day set aside to worship thee and to praise thee. And Lord, we rejoice that we're in thy presence today. And Lord, we came to thy house today. Lord, we've seen so many even walking the streets in Ballymoney, even whole families. No time for thee. And Lord, we see them out exercising. No time to look after their soul, to seek thee. Lord, just living for time and sense. And Lord, we thank you today we're here, saved by thy grace, redeemed in thy precious blood. We're here to worship thee. And Lord, we pray as we come today, Lord, we'll be conscious that we come before a holy God, a thrice holy God, God who sees and knows all things, and help us, Lord, today to worship thee in spirit and in truth. And Lord, as we come before thee, we're conscious that there are those, even in this past week, who have lost loved ones. We think of the Glasgow family, we think of the Miller family, that circle, family circle there, and we think of the Bear family, even this morning, where Joe went to be with the Lord. And we just thank you that all these families, Lord, they're loved ones is in the glory today. There was a time whenever they came and they trusted thee as their own personal Savior. And they were prepared for that day whenever you called them. And Lord, we rejoice in that. We pray, Lord, for those, Lord, that are left behind. We pray, Lord, that you'll comfort them. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that your presence, Lord, will be with them in the coming days. And Lord, as we come before thee, we also remember those, Lord, that are in hospital today, those that are not well in our congregation. They would love to even been here, but Lord, they're not able to hear. Some have gone through operations and recovering. Lord, we just pray that you'll be with them wherever they are today. We just pray, Lord, that as we are here enjoying the service here in thy presence, Lord, that they will have thy presence with them too. And Lord, you'll be with them and bless them and bring even healing to the body, we pray. And Lord, we thank you for this special day that we come to. Remember 25 years here of our pastors and labours amongst us. Lord, we thank you for them. We thank you for the day that you saved them and called them into the Christian ministry. We thank you for your hand upon them down through the years, even as they laboured for thee there in Oughton Broad at the start and in Port of Ogie and for his 25 years here in Ballymoney. Lord, we thank you for a man who's faithful in the pulpit and the preaching of thy precious word, a pastor who has a pastor's heart. And I thank you, Lord, for a man that's involved in every aspect of the ministry here in Hebron. And he's a man who we can say leads by example, he does. And we thank you today in the Lord Jesus Christ's name for him. And Lord, we would just pray today, Lord, that you will have all the honor and have all the glory. We pray that we know that this will be the pastor's desire today, that that Christ would be exalted, that Christ would have the preeminence in these services this day. And Lord, we thank you for the many souls that you've been pleased to bring to Christ through his ministry. We thank you for many, even in Hebron, over the 25 years. There's those that are sitting in this meeting this morning who's rejoicing even the very day that they met in the Reverend Park. Whenever they heard the gospel message, and Lord, he was instrumental in them coming to trust you as their Savior. And Lord, we know there's many, many more. Lord, we think of the words of Samuel Rutherford, where he said, "If one soul from on earth meet me at God's right hand, my heaven will be two heavens and Emmanuel's land." And we just think there'll be many I'll meet, I serve, on that great day. And Lord, what a day of rejoicing that will be. And Lord, we just pray you'll continue with us throughout this day. We pray for all that take part, we pray for Mervyn as he continues to lead the service. And we pray for the choir as they sing. We thank you they're able to be here today. And pray you'll bless the message that they sing. Lord, may we even use, Lord, to speak to even some under the sound of thy word today are not prepared to die, Lord, that you'll bring them to that place, Lord, where they'll realize, Lord, that even this is the day, Lord, they ought to trust thee. And Lord, we pray especially for our moderator, Reverend Armstrong. Lord, we know that he's come today with a message from thee. Lord, you've brought him here and he's prepared for this service. And Lord, we just pray that he'll know the help of the Holy Spirit as he delivers that message to this congregation today. And Lord, we would pray, Lord, even at the end of this day, Lord, we know that our pastor is a man who has a prayer list, and he prays for the unsaved, and he prays for the backsliders, we all do. And we pray, Lord, even at the very end of this day, Lord, what a blessed thing it would be if, in order to be our desire and the desire for Pastor Hart, even if someone who has been long prayed for, Lord, this was the day, Lord, they came and trusted thee. Lord, even a backslider, this is the day they come back to thee. Lord, that would be a blessed time, Lord, in this thy house today. And Lord, we just leave all these things with thee, pray to continue with us, and Lord, may all today go down to thy honour and to thy glory. For the Saviour's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, John, for leading us to the throne of grace in prayer. One of the duties in this congregation is always to do the announcements. Is one of the duties that we're always glad Mr. Park is here every Sunday, mostly every Sunday, to do them. And when he's not here, it's always a challenge between who's going to do the announcements. But I'm so pleased that our clerk of session has kindly agreed to do the announcements this morning, and we're going to ask Phil to do that just now. Thank you, brother.
Well, can we give you one and all a warm and friendly word of welcome to our service of worship this morning? These are, of course, special services that are being held to commemorate the 25 years of gospel ministry that the Reverend Park has conducted here in the Ballymoney congregation. And so we're glad that you can join with us today. We'll meet for the gospel this evening. Again, there will be a full programme this evening, a different speaker and a different programme altogether to what will take place this morning. We do propose to take up a love offering for our dear pastor, so that everybody can play their part in really telling him as to how we appreciate him for his faithful ministry in the Word here over these past 25 years. We'll meet for a time of prayer at 6:15, and then the service, of course, will take place at 7 p.m. On Tuesday, we have the Youth Challenge at 7 p.m. This is the final Youth Challenge of the year. There will be prizes and selection boxes which will be distributed amongst the boys and girls on that occasion. Thursday will be our midweek prayer meeting and Bible study, and a time of fellowship as well. We have been studying over the past number of weeks and months the wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit, and in the will of the Lord, our pastor will be with us on that occasion to continue that series, and there will be a special time of prayer for the Christian school. On Friday, we have the Hebron Christmas dinner. It's going to be taking place this year in the McRoboy House Hotel. We need to be there for 6 p.m., for the congregation will be sitting down at 6:30 for the meal. All health and safety regulations need to be observed, and the hotel requires the wearing of masks when entering and leaving the building. Those attending are encouraged to sit in their family bubbles. On Saturday, we have our open-air witness in the centre of the town, and that will take place at 11 a.m. Again, we would encourage as many as possible to join with us on that occasion. Next Lord's Day, we always begin with our early morning prayer meeting at 8 a.m., very much encouraged by those who get out of the bed early on a Sunday morning and pray for those who are unable to pray for themselves. And so we would encourage you to join with us next Lord's Day at 8 a.m. The Sabbath school takes place at 10:30, the Bible class at 10:30 also. Mervyn is dealing with the doctrine of the incarnation for the month of December, and so again we would encourage you to join with us on that occasion. The noonday service will take place at 12 noon. We will continue in the will of the Lord with the Reverend Park preaching on meditations in the Gospel of Mark. And then the family night Christmas service will take place at 7 p.m., preceded by a time of prayer at 6:15, and in the will of the Lord, our pastor will be with us on that occasion. We want to extend our sincere sympathies to Mr. and Mrs. Robin Miller on the death of Robin's mother-in-law, Annie King. We also want to extend our sympathy to the Glasgow family. James's mother has gone to be with the Lord, and our sympathy is with James and Doreen and the rest of the family circle. And then at the early morning time of prayer, we heard of the passing of Joe Blair, that's Beatles' father. And so please remember these three families. John mentioned them there in the opening prayer, that the Lord will comfort and console them, that he'll give them the oil of joy for mourning and the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We want to thank you for your tithes and offerings for the Lord's work here in Hebron, and the mission outreach envelopes, the home mission outreach envelopes, will be gathered in next Lord's Day. If you haven't received your anniversary pen, then they're available today. They will be at the rear of the church, on the table at the rear of the church as you exit the building. Please feel free to avail yourself of one of those pens. And then again, we would encourage you to remember the sick and the needy, the aged and the infirm in the congregation, that the Lord might bless them with all spiritual blessings in Christ, and that they may be raised up to a full measure of health and strength. I believe the next program is the presentation of the 25 years of ministry in Ballymoney of the Reverend Park. Of course, all these services will be in the will and plan and purpose of our God.
Youth Fellowship, congratulations, Reverend Park, on reaching this historic milestone. I asked the young people to describe you in one or two words. The words they came up with were welcoming, wise, hardworking. But the one that came up most often was missionary-minded, and that's hardly surprising. One of our young people just said to me, "The Reverend Park, he's just the best."
Well, I'd like to say on behalf of those who are involved in the open-air ministry, a big thank you to your pastor for his faithfulness and his dedication to the open-air work. Whether he's there in preaching capacity or just coming to give support and encouragement, I can say he never misses a day at the open-air. And we can truly say we have a pastor who leads by example.
Becoming minister of Ballymoney Free Presbyterian Church brings with it the additional role of administrator of our independent Christian school here. And that's a role that Mr. Park certainly embraced and one that he has ably fulfilled over these 25 years. The love that he has for the souls of boys and girls is evident even in the relationship he has with the children, and we as teachers really do value his support and his encouragement.
Mr. Park is a tireless worker and a great inspiration to us all. He is a man who leads from the front and is not shy about rolling up his sleeves and doing some of the most basic tasks.
Since he came to Ballymoney over 25 years ago, the Reverend Park has always shown a great interest in the work amongst the boys and girls, and we have really benefited from his enthusiasm and his love for the souls of the kids. His attendance at our Youth Challenge meetings and our Sunday school, not to mention coming along and joining with us at our Sunday school camps, our outings, and everything that's been going on has really been appreciated.
From our first Covenanters trip in 2000 to the 20th, Reverend David Park has been a constant help, support and encouragement, not only in his preaching, but also in his media skills, because he has been able to capture many moments of fun and fellowship.
As a foundation member of Hebron Senior Fellowship, I know I speak on behalf of the other seniors when I say that our pastor has a unique skill in communicating with all age groups. He makes us feel welcome as individuals, and we look forward to his talks.
On behalf of the students from Hebron, we want to thank you, Mr. Park, for your constant support, encouragement and challenge from the Word of God. You have shown in your ministry what it is to be an example of a faithful servant. And just as it was said of Tychicus in the book of Ephesians, you are a beloved brother and a faithful minister of the Lord.
Mother and Tots and the media team are invaluable to the work of our congregation. While not always by his physical presence, the Reverend Park has always taken a keen interest in and very supportive of these works, and they can be assured that he continues to remember them at the throne of grace and prayer.
Well, what can I say about my dad? He is genuinely an amazing man, and I know that sounds biased when it comes from his own son, but anyone who has spent time with him or has worked with him in the past, they would say exactly the same thing. He is honestly the most hardworking and passionate man that I know, especially when it comes to his ministry here in Hebron over the last 25 years.
The work amongst the boys and girls here at Hebron would be so much the poorer if it wasn't for our pastor. So from the Sunday school teachers, children's workers, and of course the boys and girls, we want to say a huge
thank you!
And we trust the Lord will continue to bless his work amongst the children here in Hebron.
Mr. Park, on behalf of our church committee, I wish you and your family God's richest blessing as we labour here together at Hebron.
From the staff and the children, congratulations on this milestone, and we look forward to what the Lord has in store for us in this work in the days ahead.
Congratulations and thank you for all that you do for the youth of our church.
The seniors are blessed with the smiling faces of the Reverend and Mrs. Park, and give thanks to the Lord for sending this godly couple.
Dad, I know I speak for the whole family when I say we're so privileged to have you as our father, but also as our pastor and as our friend. Thank you.
And you'll have noticed that Mr. Park's hair has changed in colour. It's now white, but it was ginger, I think, at a stage when he was in the Covenanters trip. I trust you enjoyed that preview of 25 years of the ministry, and it only goes a small way to let you see how involved our minister is in our congregation. Tonight we will have another video presentation, and that will cover the missionary endeavours and the missionary interests of our pastor. Something that's very dear to the heart of Mr. Park is, of course, the Hebron Choir. And I know that he was anxious, nervous. He didn't know what was going on. Very dangerous thing when a session, a committee meets in secret and the minister's not there. But he thought that there were some very tall people who were going to be speaking this morning when he saw these. But I think he had an idea. But we're going to ask the Hebron Choir to now minister to us in song, please.
Well, just before the choir sings, I want to just, on behalf of all these choir members behind me, say a special message of congratulations to you, Mr. Park, on your 25 years of ministry here in Ballymoney. Most of the choir members behind me have been in the church now for a good number of years, and all of us can testify to the tremendous support and encouragement that you as a pastor has given us as a choir, year after year, as we seek to serve the Lord in music ministry. So we want to thank you very much for all this and wish you every blessing in the future as you continue to pastor our congregation. This morning, the choir has chosen to sing Martin Luther's famous Reformation hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And you know, this hymn is packed with the wonderful truths. By the way, it's based on Psalm 46, and through it we have wonderful themes: the blessed theme of God's faithfulness, the blessed theme of his almighty power, his unchanging word, and the victory we as Christians have through Christ Jesus. So really, it's all in this hymn, and what else do we need? I just trust that as a choir we can do it justice this morning. Thank you.
word of thanks and appreciation to the Hebron Choir, to our sister Sylvia, and to Leanne for minister to us in sermon, please. I'm going to turn in our order of service to another hymn. And we're going to sing together the words of the hymn, "There Will Never Be a Sweeter Story, Story of the Saviour's Love Divine." We'll stand together while we sing, please. It is a great joy for us as a congregation to have present with us for these special services our moderator in the person of the Reverend John Armstrong, of course, minister of our congregation in Dungannon. It's also a joy for us to have the Reverend Beggs and Dr. Douglas, and we bid them welcome in the Saviour's name. It is always an honour when the moderator has the opportunity to come and to be present at a service such as this. So, Mr. Armstrong, you're welcome in the Saviour's name, and we're going to ask you to come now and to minister God's word, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Mervyn. Appreciate the words of welcome, and I'd like to thank our brother for his kindness and for the opportunity and invitation to be here this morning at this special service indeed. I'm glad to be part of the meeting, and to bring to you our congratulations to Mr. Park, Mrs. Park, and their family on reaching this milestone as far as the work in Ballymoney is concerned. I'd like to be associated with all the congratulations that have been already given to our brother, and those that will, no doubt, this evening and in days to come, further be passed on to Mr. Park. We thank God for his labour in the gospel, in Christ, in this congregation over these past 25 years. And brother, I'd like to bring you greetings also from Presbytery and extend to you the good wishes of your fellow elders in the work of the Presbytery in reaching this milestone. In Colossians chapter 4 and the verse 9, the Apostle Paul spoke of Onesimus as a faithful and beloved brother. And that's how Mr. Park is viewed by the members of our presbytery in the important roles that he plays for the furtherance of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's my prayer, and it's the desire of many others, of course, that his ministry will continue to be a blessing in Ballymoney in the many days to come. Of course, when you call a man to a congregation, you get more than perhaps you bargained for, because you get his wife and you get his family as well. And so, as we pay tribute to Mr. Park's work in the congregation, I feel it's only right also that we might mention Mrs. Park and their family, and what a testimony and witness they have been. Of course, the minister's wife and his family is very much tied up in his work and in his ministry. His wife and family make many sacrifices that others perhaps don't realize. And therefore, today, it's appropriate also, as we pay tribute to our brother, 25 years in the congregation, that we likewise remember his wife and his family. May the Lord continue to bless them also in times to come. I'd like you to turn for our scripture reading to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12. Gospel of Mark, chapter 12. Just a few verses at the end of that chapter. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. I'll be referring also a little later on to Hebrews chapter 4. I'll not take the time just at this moment to read these words, but I'll turn you to Mark chapter 12 for our scripture reading, verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Amen. We know the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts for Christ's sake. We'll bow in a word of prayer. The text I'd like to leave before you as we look at this incident is found in verse 44. She of her want did cast in all that she had. We'll bow in prayer. Eternal, everlasting, and our gracious Father in heaven, we thank thee for the opportunity of being found in the house of the Lord this morning. We thank thee, O God, for thy grace towards us in the mercy of God since the meeting commenced, in all that we have heard this afternoon, in the blessing of God upon us as we've been led afresh to the wonderful grace of God and the Lord's mercy in Jesus Christ. We thank thee that we can say a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. And Lord, we thank thee that every child of God in this meeting has found the Lord to be such, one who is a rock, a support, a strength. And no doubt our brother likewise has found the Lord to be a bulwark to him in his work and in his ministry. And Lord, we pray that thou afresh will turn our eyes upon the Savior for a little time at the end of this service. May we learn of him. May we see him. May we hear his voice and know the blessing of God upon us. Answer prayer. Give grace and help and wisdom in the preaching of God's word. In Christ's holy name, we ask these things. Amen. Amen. It's believed that the great temple in Jerusalem at the time of the Lord Jesus Christ consisted of a number of walkways and large gathering places. Each of them carried different significant names, and each of those different areas of the temple were able to receive different types of individual. It's believed that all around the outside of the temple was a pavement known as the Court of the Gentiles.
The rest of the temple was barred to those who were non-Jews, and therefore the court of the Gentiles was as far as Gentile people were allowed to go. They were limited to the peripheral areas of the temple. And then within the temple area itself, situated at the western end of the temple, was an area known as the priest court. It was the area where none but the priests were allowed to enter in. And of course, it contained the most holy place, the altar, the laver. These were all housed within this particular area, the priest's court. Working our way out then towards the east, we would come to the men's court. That's an area that the Jewish men were permitted to enter. They could not proceed into the priest's court, but they were welcome. They had to worship the Lord or do whatever they did within the temple confines in this area known as the men's court. You move a little further out towards the east of the temple was the court of the women. That really was as far as women could enter into the temple under normal circumstances. But that court of the women was also one of the walkways in which men could meet. And it was one of the ways that men could enter in through into the area of the temple, the men's court that they could enter into. Consequently, this concourse called the court of the women was in all probability the most crowded area within the temple and its surrounds. It's not surprising, therefore, given the number of people who entered and who gathered there, that in this court at the western end of the temple area was the treasury. It's believed from what the commentators would tell us that in the treasury was a line really of 13 chests or boxes for the receipt of the money offerings. Those boxes were narrow at the top and wide at the bottom, hence they were called trumpets. Each trumpet was named and identified as being for a specific offering. It's believed by some also that 9 of those 13 receptacles were for donations that the offerers were legally bound to contribute to the temple work, the tithes, the statutory offerings. The other 4 boxes, some would tell us, were for voluntary offerings, monies that those who came to the temple didn't have to give but wanted to donate. The Bible tells us here at the end of Mark chapter 12 that it was as the Lord Jesus sat over against this treasury area, that is opposite the treasury, where these 13 trumpets were situated, that on one occasion he called his disciples to him and drew attention to a woman casting in her 2 mites. It's what's said of this incident that I would like to bring before you very briefly as this meeting draws to its conclusion this afternoon. Firstly, I would have you to notice that this woman was the object of the scrutiny of the Savior, because the Lord's eye was upon her. He took note of her. He judges her, and in verse 43, he identifies her as a poor widow. That's how he describes her. That she was a widow, firstly, was plain for all to see, most likely from the garments that she wore. Because a widow at the time commonly dressed in clothes of mourning. It may well have been one of those things that was done in Israel, generally speaking. We read, for example, in the Old Testament of Tamar in Genesis 38 and the verse 19, putting on the garments of her widowhood. And it used to be the case in this land of ours in generations gone by also that immediately after the death of a husband, the widow would put on what was called the widow's weed. The word weed was just simply an old word for garment. And therefore, in the immediate aftermath of the death of her husband, the widow would put on these clothes which she would regard as demonstrating her sorrow. Queen Victoria, in her private diaries, she described her husband Albert's death in 1861 as a dreadful and overwhelming calamity that left her with a heavy, broken heart. And as a consequence then, Queen Victoria, for the next 40 years of her life after her husband's passing, she wore what was described as the widow's weed, dark black garments, to indicate the fact that she was a widow, a heartbroken widow indeed. And that's how it probably was for this woman who came to the temple that day in Mark chapter 12. Her clothes would probably mark her out as a widow. The disciples would have no difficulty, therefore, looking at this woman and coming to the conclusion, here is a widow woman. Furthermore, anyone looking at her could discern that she was a poor widow, not only from looking at her garments, but also from considering her gifts. They would see immediately the area of the treasury where she would go to cast in her money. And they would see immediately the trumpet that she would cast her money into, because it seems to be that different amounts of money were to be cast into the different trumpets or receptacles that were at this wall where the treasury was situated. And therefore, anyone looking at this woman would identify her most likely from where she went as being poor. They would also identify her as being poor, not only from the area that she went to, but also from the amount that she cast in. Two mites was the minimum amount that the law allowed anyone to contribute to the Lord's treasury. So here's a woman. She's poor. She's very poor indeed. And yet, even though she was poor and a widow, she was careful and she was meticulous about the things of God. She didn't let her circumstances, her situation, keep her from the Lord's house. Sometimes you and I are prone to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Of course, there are times whenever it's impossible to be in attendance, but at other times, very little can keep us from the Lord's house. Tell me, are you a faithful member, a faithful friend of this congregation, or if you're a visitor from another of our congregations, are you faithful to your church, to your congregation, and to your minister as a faithful member and friend of the congregation? You expect the Reverend Park to be in his place every Sunday morning and every Sunday night. If some Sunday morning he didn't appear in the pulpit and he came along at night and he said, well, I decided to have a lie-in this morning. I took my wife out to the Chinese last night, bought her a big meal. We were late home. I was tired this morning. I decided just to lie on. Well, you wouldn't think very much of him as a minister and a pastor. And maybe there's people in Ballymoney use the same excuse on the Lord's Day morning from time to time. There's people in Dungannon use the same excuse. Here's a woman, you see, and from the human perspective, she wouldn't let any of the difficulties that she was going through in life permit her to absence herself from the house of God. She wanted to be in the place of worship no matter what. She might have been critical of her circumstances, the Lord taking away her husband, or she might have felt that her contribution was of no value whatsoever. But no, here's a woman, and she wanted to meet with the Lord. That's why she went to the temple that day. Verse 42 tells us that two mites made a farthing. And that was her contribution. Two mites, a farthing. And the amount that she cast in is most important and significant. Because if you glance sometime at Matthew chapter 10, verse 29, you will read that a farthing was the price of two sparrows. And Jewish religious history tells us also that two sparrows could be offered in the temple as a sacrifice. Indeed, there are those who believe that two sparrows was the least offering that a poor person could present in sacrifice in the temple. Therefore, in throwing in her two mites, what was she doing? She was buying two sparrows. Two sparrows that would be offered in sacrifice. One of those little birds, I believe, would be offered in sacrifice as a sin offering. That bird would remind her of the consequences of sin. The wages of sin is death. That little bird offered as a sin offering, therefore, would indicate one who would die in the sinner's place. The other little bird would be used as a burnt offering. The burnt offering told her of the death of a substitute. And therefore, these two little birds that she was probably purchasing spoke to her of the cross of Christ, the one who is both the sacrifice and the substitute for sinners. This incident at the end of Mark chapter 12 is often quoted in relation to us giving our tithes and our offerings to the Lord. And that practical aspect, of course, can quite rightly be seen here. But to view this episode as no more than that is to miss the most important part of this whole incident. If you only see the mere practical of her casting in her two mites and think nothing more of that and leave it at that, you miss getting a glimpse of the cross. Because in purchasing these two little birds, she was getting a glimpse of Calvary. And she was looking forward by faith to that time when Christ would die for her sins. These events, I suggest to you, lead us clearly to the cross. And they bring us to Golgotha, where the Savior offered himself for sinners. And of course, the preaching in this congregation, as throughout our denomination, has always centered upon Christ and the cross. And it must always center upon Christ and the faithful preaching of his gospel. A preacher left the pulpit at the end of a meeting, and he thought he had got on quite well. And that's a dangerous thing, in a sense, when you leave a meeting and you think you've done well. And he thought he had got on so well, this preacher, that he met somebody in the congregation a little bit later, and he said, "Well, what did you think about Sunday morning?" "Oh," the preacher or the friend says, "yes, it was very good. Your sermon was well presented and well prepared. You spoke with great clarity and diction. The grammar was good. You're easy to listen to. The people really enjoyed it. There's just one thing. You didn't bring your congregation to Calvary. You missed the cross. You forgot about Christ." And it's the preaching of Christ that has marked our brother and his ministry here down the years. It said of Murray McShane that he preached with eternity stamped upon his brow. That is the presentation of Christ as Savior for eternity. This woman today came to the temple in our scripture reading because in the types and in the shadows of the Old Testament sacrifices, she desired to get a glimpse of the Savior. There's no indication here whatsoever that she knew or she recognized Christ physically from what's said here or in other parts of the Gospels. But she saw him in the sacrifices. She viewed him by faith. That's why she came to the temple with her two mites that day. She wanted to get to the cross. And there's a word there for every child of God in this meeting. Is that why you come to the Lord's house? With the desire to meet with Christ. Can I get a glimpse of the Savior? That should be your main motivation in coming to the house of God. Of course, there's a social aspect to meeting in God's house. But oh, the main reason that you should come is to see Christ. To by faith look upon Him. To learn more of Him. And then what about the unconverted person in this meeting? There's a lesson here for you who are not saved. You must look to Christ by faith. The woman that day saw Christ in the sacrifices. You are able to see Christ in the Scriptures. Because it is there that you learn of His cruel death, the paying of the price of sin. It's there, as you have been taught for many years by the Lord's servant, that you have been instructed that if ever you are to be in heaven, you must receive Him and accept Him and depend alone upon His finished work. That's the message that our brother has preached here for 25 years. Maybe you've sat under his ministry during most of that time. You're still not saved. Still not saved. And in that sense, our brother's ministry and his preparation and his labor has really been of little benefit to you. As far as the salvation of your soul is concerned, yes, it has taught you, it has instructed you, but you've never acted upon it. And you've never received Him into your heart. What a day this would be for Mr. Park. If you were to come to Christ, after Him preaching to you for all of these years, if in this special anniversary service, you would take Him, Christ, as your Savior. This old woman, and I'm assuming that she was an old woman at the end of Mark 12, she hadn't got very much by way of this world's goods. But she had something that some of you don't have. She had Christ in her heart. Christ in her heart by faith. By faith. She was the object of the scrutiny of the Savior. Very quickly, this woman was also the object of the supremacy of the Savior. Because here is a woman and the Lord knows all about her. Because He was aware of things concerning this woman that no one else was a party to. You see, the Lord is supreme. There's the acquaintance in this supremacy. Firstly, He knew her home situation, and He knew that whenever she cast in those two mites into the treasury, that her purse was empty. Because He's able to say, she hath cast in all that she had, even all her living. No one else knew that. The disciples, the hundreds of people milling around, none of them, no one else was aware that whenever she threw in those two mites, she had nothing else to give. Purse was empty. She hath cast in all her living, everything that she had. You know, it's good to be reminded that the Lord knows all about us. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. We read in Hebrews chapter 4 in the verse 13, some verses that we hadn't time to read a little earlier, didn't take the time to read. Hebrews chapter 4 and the verse 13, we read, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Whenever an animal or a little bird was presented to the priest to be sacrificed, he had to check that it was perfect in every single way. And so that little bird had to be examined. Firstly, it would be examined by the priest on the outside to see that there was no deformity or impediment. And then after the animal was slain, it had to be checked for inward flaws. So without being too graphic, as soon as the little bird, if we're thinking about that from Mark chapter 12, as soon as the little bird would be slain, it would be opened up like a book. And the priest would check that it was perfect. Hence, it might be said, in the words of Hebrews chapter 4 and the verse 13, to be naked and opened before the priest. And that's the terms that are used in relation to the Lord Jesus. You see, the Lord knows all about you. You're like an open book before Him. All things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. There's nothing as far as you are concerned that the Lord doesn't know about. Remember the woman at the well, having spoke to the Savior, she went to the men of the city of Sychar, and she said unto them in John 4 and the verse 29, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Because the Lord knew about her life, her lifestyle. He knew every step, every decision that she had made in life. He knew every last detail concerning her. And that's a wonderful thing. As far as you as a child of God is concerned. Psalm 147 verse 4 tells us that He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. If He knows the stars, does He not know your name also? And we read in Matthew chapter 10 and the verse 29 that not even a sparrow falls to the ground without His knowledge of it. If He sees the little sparrow, worth nothing in the eyes of man, is His eye not upon you, for whom Christ shed His precious blood? Is He not aware of all the different situations that you face in life? And in knowing all about you, He upholds you. That's the assistance of His supremacy. Mr. Park's a good minister. We've heard that. The testimony of those on the screen. He's a faithful pastor. He continually seeks the welfare of the souls to whom he preaches. He will give all support when he can to those who seek his assistance. He's a good shepherd of the flock. But he's limited. He's limited. If you want to know how limited he is, ask his wife. He's limited. As far as you and I are concerned, because he's just a man. Yes, he can read, he can pray, he can advise, he can preach, he can give spiritual and practical help. That's his calling, but as a man, he's constrained. But there is no such constraint with Christ. It's no coincidence there after Hebrews chapter 4, and the verse 13 speaks of the all-knowing Savior in relation to the individual. The Holy Ghost then goes on to say in verse 14, seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Because having spoken of the all-knowing capacity of the Lord, the Holy Ghost then goes on to underline His great high priestly work as our intercessor. And then in verse 15, we read, for we have not an high priest. And put yourself in here and think about yourself and your personal circumstances. For I have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of my infirmities. But he was in all points tempted like as I am, yet without sin. I often wondered why verse 15 is put in the negative. Indeed, it's a double negative. And the Holy Ghost there says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Why not just put it in the positive and say we have a high priest who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities? But when you consider what the original language says, you'll see the meaning and the significance of the double negative. Literally, that part of the verse could read, we have not an high priest who is unable to sympathize. And what that verse is teaching is that Christ in heaven cannot do anything else but sympathize with you, his child. In all the situations of life that you find yourself in, it is impossible for Christ as our great high priest not to sympathize with you and to enter into how you feel at any given time. Oh, child of God, never think that Christ is so far removed from you in the heavens and is so vastly separated from you that he is incapable of proper sympathy for you as a suffering and attempted child of God, attempted believer. These words cause you and I as God's people to see Jesus, the Son of God, that he knows all about the human problems, the temptation. Every situation that you find yourself in, you might be here this morning and your heart's broken. And you might have driven into the car park prior to the service with tears in your eyes. I don't know. But don't ever forget that the Lord enters into your sorrow. He enters into your sickness. He enters into the heartache that you feel. He feels your disappointment. He shares in your hurt. He understands when you're let down. He not only knows what you're going through, but he partakes in those things that you are experiencing. He cannot do anything else. That's what Hebrews chapter 4 and the verse 15 tells us. He can't do anything else but sympathize with you because you're his child. You're his child. You see, Christ is not only one of us. He's one with us. He's one with us. And yes, Mr. Park can sympathize with you with all the feeling of his heart. But he's limited. He's just a man. But oh, what ministry Christ can give to you. Because he can be there with you, and by the blessed grace and power of the Holy Ghost, he can draw alongside of you whenever Mr. Park has to go home. In the middle of the night when our brother is in his bed, thank God the Lord draws alongside of you, supporting and strengthening, giving grace to you. One final thing, very quickly. There's the object. The object of these verses at the end of Mark chapter 4, the object, she was the object of the sanction of the Savior. And I mean the word sanction in the highest possible terms, because the Lord spoke about this woman. He held her up as an example. He said to the disciples, look at her. She received the well done of God. He called his disciples unto him, and he held her up, as it were, as an example. And even though, as far as the biblical record is concerned, he never spoke a word to her, yet he noted her, and he commends her, and he turns the eyes of the disciples upon her. Perhaps the disciples were so taken up with the many who were rich and cast in much. No, the Lord says, no, don't look at them. Look on her. Take her as your example. And Mr. Park has led by example in this congregation, as we have already heard. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and the verse 12, the Apostle Paul said to the young man, Timothy, let man despise thy youth. Be thou an example of the believers. Maybe the first part of the verse doesn't so much apply to Mr. Park now. Let no man despise thy youth. But he's an example to the believers. In word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity, he has been a good and faithful servant, an example to us all. He's to be commended. You know, there's not many men stay 25 years. Maybe he has known ups and downs in this congregation. I don't know. That's how life is. But our brother has been faithful to Christ, to the cause of Christ. And he would be an example to many in this congregation, in other congregations, in our presbytery as well. He commends this woman concerning her experience as well, because how could this widow cast in these last two mites, knowing that she had nothing else in her purse? How could she do it? Well, she could do so because she believed that the one who had met and sustained her need in the past would continue to do so in the future. And so she took out the two mites, knowing that there was nothing left. And she was able to cast those two mites into the treasury that day because she had experienced the Lord's grace and sustaining care in the days that had gone past. And so she was secure in the knowledge that the Lord who had provided the two mites would be able to provide for her in days to come also. And so we can say to our brother, keep on honoring the Lord, and he will honor you. And he who has met your need in this congregation over 25 years will continue to meet your need and will continue to abundantly bless you in times to come. This widow, as I conclude, in the eyes of some, she hadn't much to give. But what I want to say to you in conclusion is, and point out to you, she hadn't much to give, but she gave all she had to give. And you know, that's all that the Lord asks of any one of us. Just give all you have. Our brother has many abilities and he's given them to the Lord. You and I might not have as many abilities as Mr. Park has. And maybe as you've seen him at work and you've listened to him preach, you've felt the call to serve the Lord in a full-time capacity, but you haven't done anything about it as yet. You've thought to yourself, oh, I could never serve the Lord as Mr. Park does. I could never preach like him. That may or may not be the case. But the Lord doesn't require David Park's ability from you. All the Lord requires of you and me is our ability, our talents, our service. This woman, she hadn't much to give, but she gave all she had to give. That's all that the Lord requires and wants of you and me. May he give us the grace to hand over everything that we have to him. That's what the woman did that day. She gave him everything. Gave him all. And she received the commendation and the well done of God. May we follow her example for Christ Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.
I thank the moderator, the Reverend Armstrong, for ministering to us this afternoon. We're going to ask our superintendent and one of our elders, Mr. Wesley McCauley, if he'll come now and conclude in a word of prayer, please.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Eternal God, we come into thy presence again at the end of our worship service. And we give thee thanks, Lord, for a real sense of thee being with us this morning. Thy word promises that where the two or three are gathered together in thy name, that there thou wilt be in their midst. And, O Lord, surely we have proved that promise this morning. And, O Lord, we thank thee for the praise that we have been able to render to thee. We thank thee for the message and the ministry of our choir this morning. But above all, we thank thee for the preaching of thy precious word. And, O Lord, we just pray that as we were challenged, Lord, even as we listen to that message, that we will be able to give thee our abilities, our talents, our all. And, O Lord, while we thank thee for the ministry of our brother this morning, we give thee thanks for the faithful preaching of our pastor over these 25 years, for how he has instructed this flock in the things of God, and how he has so faithfully preached the gospel. And, O Lord, we pray for those who may be with us this morning, and as yet they have not come and trusted thee as their Savior. O Lord, we pray that this might be the day. Today, Lord, they may surrender their lives and their hearts to thee. So, Lord, we ask that you will go with us as we depart thy house. We pray that you will be with us throughout this afternoon. May thy word continue to dwell in our hearts. And, Lord, we ask that you will bring us back to thy house tonight for the preaching of the gospel and for the praise of thy precious name. So, Lord, be with us now, we pray, and we will be careful to give to thee the praise, the honor, and all of the glory for all that thou dost do. Amen. Now, as with every Lord's Day, we will ask that you remain in your seats until the stewards instruct you to leave row by row. But we would ask the Reverend Park and Mrs. Park if they would go to the back, and we'll not ask you to stop long with them, but if you'd be able to greet them on your way out as you leave. Thank you for worshiping with us at Hebron this morning.